Blog Talk Radio.
When I think of his goodness, what he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I got something inside of me.
Hallelujah.
Come on, tell him I got something inside of me. Tell him it's me like fighter, fighter. Tell him it's burning, burning.
Listen, we got a little song that we like to sing in choir practice. I wonder if you can help us. It's really easy, all right? You guys gonna help me? Is anybody gonna help me out there? Chancy, you see, we won't keep you up long. But this is a song of thanksgiving, all right? How y'all moving? Come on, sopranos, I want you to start it off, okay? Do we have any sopranos in the house? Any sopranos in the house? Sing this, sopranos. When I sing.
When I sing
of his goodness. What he's done.
What
he's done
for me.
My soul cries out.
My soul cries out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, sopranos in the house, sing it.
Good morning, Pastor Cooper.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How's everything?
That's good. How are you?
Doing great.
Well,
doing great. Doing great. Yeah, doing great.
Good.
Loving your show. How's everything?
I'm doing good. I spent last evening at Chuck E. Cheese, so I'm a bit worn out from all that ding, ding, dinging in there, but I had a good time. Pastor Cooper, are you here?
Yes, ma'am. I am here. I'm just listening, and I'm trying to wait till everyone, gets organized and set. And
yeah,
just...
so I'm going to go ahead and read from our Daily Bread, then, while you're doing that. Good morning, everybody. This is Brenda's World. Today's Wednesday. That's the wrong Wednesday. Chuck E. Cheese sure is a fun, dandy place. Alrighty, then. With S and NS, my son had just started nursery school. The first day he cried and declared, I don't like school. My husband and I talked to him about it. We may not be physically there, but we are praying for you. Besides, Jesus is always with you. But I can't see him, the child reasoned. My husband hugged him and said, he lives in you, and he won't leave you alone. My son touched his heart and said, yes, Jesus lives in me. Kids are not the only ones who suffer from separation anxiety. In every stage of life, we face times of separation from those we love, sometimes because of geographical distance and sometimes because of death. However, we need to remember that even if we feel forsaken by others, God has forsaken us. He has promised to be with us always. God sent the Spirit of Truth, our advocate and helper, to dwell within us forever. That would be John 14:15-18. We are his beloved children. My son is learning to trust, and so am I. Like my son, I can't see the Spirit, but I feel his power each day. He encourages me and guides me as I read God's word. Let us thank God for his wonderful provision. The Spirit of Christ who is with us and in us, we are certainly not alone. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Good morning, universe. How are you this morning? This is Brenda's World from Kansas City, Kansas at 646-787-1575. And my guest speakers this morning will be Pastor Robert Cooper in Ohio and Calvin Logan II in South Carolina from Logan Power Hour. How are you, gentlemen, this morning?
Blessed. I'm just blessed. Blessed. Just glad it's appreciated being on your show.
Yeah, thank you, Calvin. So, Pastor Cooper, whenever you're ready,
right,
you can bring your word today.
I hear you have a pretty active background, so you have to go on mute. Broadcast.
Oh, so you think I want to act about? Well, I'm just sort of this morning, I needed that. That word that came this morning was, felt like it was directed right at me. I'm going through a situation, of several situations. And I have pretty much been disowned for the person that God has created me to be. So that word that I just read pretty much was speaking, I felt was speaking to me directly.
Amen. 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 Yes,
thank you.
Well, we thank you again for the opportunity to come and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. It's always a privilege, amen, to say God is worthy and to give him praise and glory. And right now, I'd just like to pray to get started. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we welcome you into our presence today. We thank you once again for giving us an opportunity to come out and to give your name the glory. We believe by faith that today, O God, that you have a word from on high, and our hearts are open, amen, to receive that which you have given us. Now, Lord, as we stand in preparation and readiness for the word that is about to come forth, we ask that you lift up those, amen, who may have wanted to call but couldn't call. And we ask you for the entire body of Christ, amen, to give us a mind stayed on. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless Sister Brenda and her radio endeavors. And we ask that you continue to strengthen her and to increase her. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Living God, amen.
Amen.
So now, anyone who may have noise in the background, I'm going to ask you to put it on mute and just listen to us, amen, so we won't be interrupted because God is about to speak in this place, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to be speaking today from the subject, If You Say It, Lord. I'm going to repeat that again. The topic today is, If You Say It, Lord, I Believe It. Amen.
Amen.
If you say it, I believe it. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter and the 19th verse. Numbers 23:19. I'm going to take my time if it's all right with you.
All right, that's fine.
Numbers 23 and 19 reads as follows. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it? Or as he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So we can believe every word that God says. Now we need to understand, amen, about the scriptures. And if you go with me to the book of, praise the living God. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse, it says, all scripture, not some scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we find that God is not a man that he should lie. And then as we read from the scriptures, we find out that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. So we don't have to worry about, amen, if God is telling us the truth, because God can't lie. Praise the living God. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And then we're going to go into our message, amen. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and the 17th and 18th verse. And it reads as follows. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible, say impossible, it is impossible for God to lie. Praise the living God. It's impossible for God to lie. So when we read the word of God, we need to understand, amen, that it's the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except by him. So we need to understand that what we hear from God is the truth, because God cannot lie. It's absolutely impossible. He can't lie. He doesn't have the lying gene in him. The only thing that can come out of the mouth of God is the truth. Praise the living God. So So if God says it, you can believe it. And so, again, my title today is, if you say it, Lord, I believe it. Praise the living God. If you say that I can, I believe it. Hallelujah. There are so many things that the Word of God says we can do. And, Lord, if you say I will, I believe it. Because there's all kinds of things that God not only says that he'll do, but he also tells us that we will do if we believe. God, if you say I do, I believe. If you say I have, I believe it. If you say I am, I believe it. Or anything else about me, if you say it, Lord, I believe it. And if you tell me to be or to be not, I believe it. If you say come, I'll come. If you say go, I'll go. If you say it, Lord, I believe it. Because you are Lord. And not only will I believe it, but also I'll obey it. Amen. Because obedience, amen, is the evidence of our believing. If you want to prove that you believe it, it's not enough to just claim it and state it, but you have to also obey what God is telling you to do, because your obedience is the evidence, amen, of your belief. And the Bible is not meant to destroy you, but to edify you. And the commands of God are his instructions. So in all, he is directing us to his kingdom, a lifestyle that depicts his divine kingship in us all. Praise the living God. So the scriptures are most powerful. Amen. And they are written to make us better and not bitter. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
but you know, I find that when you teach the word of God, praise God, you always find some people to get bitter, amen. Because lots of times people don't want to change. Praise the living God. They don't want to change. And so the ones that don't want to change will be made angry by the truth. And the ones who do want to change will be inspired by the truth. And you will find this separation wherever the truth is being preached, because the truth will make you free. Now, we're going to be talking this morning about the power of believing. Amen? The power of believing. How powerful is believing? How powerful is it when we believe? Amen. You know, the church is called the believers, amen, the believers in Jesus Christ. But I'm finding out that it's far more than us just saying we're believers. We need to have the evidence. And the evidence is how well we perform what God says we are to do. And if we're not performing it, praise the living God, then maybe we're not believing it. Someone go to Mark the 16th chapter. Mark 16. And I won't be before you long, but Mark 16, the 16th chapter, and beginning at the 15th verse. And when you find it, say amen.
Amen.
And if you found it, I'll just holler out, wait. Praise God. Hallelujah. So good to have my companion, my wife here, amen, to keep us prayed up, and she's always inspiration to me, because God used her to intercede so mightily. And so the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in his name, there am I in the midst. So we just welcome him in our midst right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mark the 16th chapter in the 15th verse, and we're talking about believing, amen? How many know there's power in believing? Amen? So he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, we're talking about the power of believing. And believing is an awesome thing. Because it's not enough to say, I believe. There's got to be some signs your belief. Praise the living God.
Amen.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents.
Amen.
They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These signs follow believers. Amen. And, you know, we all want to call ourselves believers, amen. I'm talking about the church, amen. I'm talking about the modern-day 21st century church as we know it. We want to call ourselves believers, amen, but we really need to check ourselves as believers against this scripture, the scriptures that I just read, because there's evidence that should be following our belief. And when people see believers, they should also see action. Belief is not just enough. It's not enough just to say you believe. There's got to be some action.
Amen.
Action can only come behind obedience to God's word. And if you believe, amen, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and if you believe that he's the Son of the living God, and if you believe that he's
amen.
Been empowered us, amen, then we should be able to
yeah.
do the things he did. Because the Bible says, the works that I do shall you do. This is what Jesus said to believers. John, the 14th chapter. I find myself preaching from this scripture quite a bit, Sister Brenda, because it's such a powerful word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He says, verily, verily, in the 12th verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, praise the living God, that the
yes,
works
Lord.
Shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, that's what he's saying in John 14 and 12. He's also telling us in Mark 16 the same thing. He's saying, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth
yes,
not
Lord.
Shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So in
I
order to be a believer in him, you're going to have supernatural power as your backup. In other words, folks should be able to see something in your midst, amen. So it's no longer going to be proper and acceptable for believers, so-called believers, to come together anymore, amen. And signs and wonders
yeah.
are not being demonstrated. Praise the living God. We need to get to the place, amen, where the signs and the wonders are being demonstrated, amen. Because believing
amen.
Is claiming to believe, church. Believing is doing it, amen. And obedience, once again, is the evidence of our believing. You see, because believing puts us in a whole different category. It puts us in the God category. We now become a part of the God family. As believers, we are now part of the God classification. So no longer, amen, are we just ordinary, praise the living God. Because according to Scripture, praise the living God, hallelujah, according to the Scripture, believing does something for us. Amen. It
yes,
gives
Lord.
Us
amen.
More to the supernatural. Amen. Well, look at the Scripture. This is supernatural. Hallelujah. In the 17th verse of Mark, in the 16th chapter, he said, in my name till they cast out devils. That's supernatural. Praise the living God. You've got to have power to cast out devils. Amen. The
amen.
Devil is not
yes,
allowed to cast them out of anything or anyone unless you've got supernatural power. And believing will give you that power, because that is exactly what Jesus Christ wants us to do. He wants us to do it, and he wants us to do it now. He wants us to have it now. He wants us to move in it, and he wants us to move in it now.
Yeah, thank
praise
you, Lord.
Yeah. And he goes on, they shall take up serpents. They shall speak with new tongues. You should have
yeah.
a whole talking, amen. Your new tongues represent that which is spiritual, amen. You're no longer
yes,
talking
hallelujah.
That, but you are now spiritual. Praise the living God.
Yeah.
And the supernatural
hallelujah.
Power of God is your existence. And everything that we do now in Jesus Christ, he has empowered us to do and to live as he is, because as it says
yeah.
in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, hallelujah. And that's a reason to give him praise, hallelujah. Even if I got to praise him all by myself, praise the living God, hallelujah. But it's time for us to get happy, praise the living God, all across this land, because God has given us this great power. Oh, somebody need to give God praise today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mark, the 9th chapter, the power of believing. Mark, the 9th chapter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the 23rd verse, Mark, the 9th chapter, and the 23rd verse says, if thou canst believe, now tell me this is not supernatural, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh,
amen.
God. What Jesus is saying,
amen.
Mouth, amen, is to let you know that believing is so powerful that it gives
yes,
you the ability to do all things. And the only one that can do all things is Jesus Christ. Because Philippians chapter 4 says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So Christ can do all things. And he's saying if you believe, all things will
Hallelujah.
Be possible for you. Hallelujah. So it's time that we reshape our thinking, amen, as it relates
yeah.
to the word of God. And begin to realize and understand, amen, that this word is made to build us up and to edify us and to make us become
Thank
creatures,
you.
Amen, new creatures in Christ. To where old things are passed away, praise God, and all things are become new. And everything new about us,
Thank
the Bible
you,
says, is of God. Hallelujah. And if it is
yes,
of
Lord.
God, then we know that it is supernatural in power. And God wants us to walk in the supernatural. The church of the 21st century, supernatural church. There should be a clear distinction, amen, between the church of Jesus Christ and the rest of the world. Amen. We are to
yes,
be not conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But we are to be transformed of our mind. There should be a distinction. There should be a difference. The world should be able
yes,
to see
Lord,
the
hallelujah.
Church.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Mark 11.
Mm.
Mark 11, while we're in the book of Mark. Mark 11. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mark 11, the 23rd verse. Talks about the power of believing. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. First, in the 22nd verse, it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. That translates like this, saint. Have faith in God translates have the faith of God. Or in other words, have the God kind of faith. Praise the living God. What is the God kind of faith? It's the kind of faith that all things are possible with God. There's nothing
Amen.
To God. That's the God kind of faith, amen. The kind of faith that God had when he spoke to the darkness and said, let there be
Amen.
Light. And it says in Genesis
Amen.
Chapter 1 that it was light and it was so. That's the God kind of faith. So have the God
yeah.
kind of faith. Have faith in God, but you have to be in God or of God to have that kind of faith.
Amen.
And the only you can
yeah.
be in God or of God is to be in Christ. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it says, all
yeah.
things are of God.
Yeah.
So when everything about you is of God, then your faith also will be the God kind of faith. And you'll also be able
Hallelujah.
To do the God kind of things. Because everything about
yeah.
you, amen, reflects God's nature. Praise the living God.
Yeah.
The Bible says
Hallelujah.
In 2 chapter 1, verse 4, that we are all now, we are partakers of the divine nature. In other words, we are partakers
yeah.
of the nature of God. Oh, hallelujah. That's
hallelujah.
Good news. And that's good news, but that's what the adversary doesn't want you to have. So he's trying to shut the process down. He don't want you to have the good news, because the good news is
yeah.
going to deliver you. The good news is going to set you free. The good news is going
Hallelujah.
To empower you. The good news is going to take you to a whole new level. The good news is going to set things
Hallelujah.
Right in your...
Yeah,
the good news is going to set things right in your churches. The good news is going to cause you to set things right in your communities. The good news is going
yeah.
to cause you to... things right in your businesses. The good news is going to make you a new Christ, where all things, old
yeah.
things are passed away, and all things have become new, praise God, and all things
praise
that are
Lord.
New are of God.
Amen.
And when
yes,
the world
Lord.
Sees you, praise the living God, they'll see the Father.
Yes,
Hallelujah,
yes,
Jesus. They will see the Father.
Yes,
Amen.
Yes,
so believe in a God is not just claiming to believe. Anyone can do that. But
Amen.
What we need is go beyond just claiming to believe and show the world
yes,
we do believe by our obedience. Oh,
yeah.
hallelujah. And when we obey, the Bible says signs
Thank
and
you,
wonders will follow them that
yeah.
believe. So as we read
yes,
Mark 11, 23, amen, and I'll be closing. But as we read Mark
no
11, it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, and you see, God is not trying to make a distinction here. He said, whosoever, meaning whoever will believe. Whosoever means whoever. Whosoever shall say unto
thee, hallelujah,
be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, there's that word, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. How many know that it's supernatural power, amen, to speak to a mountain and cause that mountain in your life to be removed and cast into the sea? And I've preached this before, I'll preach it until the Lord tells me to stop preaching it. There are mountains in your life right now that are blocking you from having things, doing things, being things. The only way those mountains can be removed, the only thing that's standing between you and the mountain being removed, is you opening your mouth and in the name of Jesus Christ, saying to the mountain, because you believe that the power of God is in you, and you believe that you are a direct reflection of Almighty God, and you know that you are made in the image and likeness of God, and you realize that Jesus Christ in you is your hope of glory, and you recognize that you're not only a child of God, but you are heir of God and joint heir of Christ. Same time, praise the living God, you know that God has given you the power to speak to any mountain, no matter how high it is, no matter how wide it is, no matter how big it is, and thing to be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. I don't care what it is. God has empowered you through faith to do what it is that he told you to do. The power of belief. There's power in believing. Power in believing. Hallelujah. And if we could just believe on the same level as Jesus Christ, amen. Because nothing was hard for God. Jesus believed like this. He said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we need to get out of the man level of things and get into the God level of things where we belong. Praise the living God. So we can do those impossible things that we couldn't do thinking like men. But now when we allow our minds to be transformed, amen, and renewed, allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we now can do things and that only God can do through us. Praise the living God. And you know, this is a reason for celebration. Praise God. We celebrate the wrong stuff. We need to celebrate, amen, our new beginnings. We need to celebrate, amen, being born again. We need to celebrate being in Christ. Hallelujah. We need to make some noise in the churches. The church should be the loudest thing going on. Amen. Sure, there's catastrophe all around the world. There should be such a celebration coming from God, because the power that he's given us is immense. And the power that he's given us, amen, is infinite. And the power that he has given us is eternal. And when we recognize the eternal power that he's given us, amen, we need to shout the living God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Matthew 21, the power of believing. Matthew 21.
Ready?
Talking to the mountain, amen, but this is Matthew's version of it. Praise the living God. Verse 22. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. He said in all things, I'm going to say that again because I like it. He said, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So in other words, if you believe and if you have the faith to ask for it in prayer, amen, the Bible says, shall receive it. Verse 21 says, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, amen. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith, amen. This is not a recording, amen. I'm just repeating it.
Amen.
Verily I say unto you, you have faith and doubt not. And you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain again, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Me today, amen, that has a mountain in their life. But whatever the mountain is that's in your life that's causing you grief, despair, and distress, God is saying that if you have the faith of God, amen.
Amen.
To that mountain in Jesus' name and declare that the mountain be removed and cast into the sea,
amen.
No matter what it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how high it is, it'll go.
Amen. That's right.
And he says, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believe it. So when you pray, you have to make sure you believe. You
amen.
Shall. You shall receive it. Amen, and praise
amen.
The Lord. Sister
amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Cooper. That worked very well. That's why I love you on my program, is because each and every time that I hear you speak, I feel the Holy Spirit. And I feel like a lot of times the Lord is speaking directly to me through you, and I have ever since the first time I heard you speak on Franklin Lewis's Donnie D program. And I want to thank you and your wife for, I hear her praying and agreeing with us in the background. I appreciate that so much. And you're correct that the world is in much need of actions, and more actions, and the word too, but more actions. I agree with you, sir.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So, Calvin, how are you this morning? You there, Calvin?
Yes, ma'am. Definitely.
I had you on mute. I apologize.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem. I said Pastor Cooper was laying it down on the belief, you know, trusting in God. And definitely much just want to piggyback off that. You know, the biggest thing is that, you know, believing in His Son Jesus Christ, that's the biggest thing. You know, if you have not done that confession, then pretty much your belief in Him, this power would not be existence. So I think what people have to understand is that what we're talking about is believing His Son died on the cross for us so that you can have that opportunity to have that power. And that power comes with a lot of different type of abilities. If you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The biggest thing is that we have to understand, as being the body of Christ, is that we have to understand in verse 10, that same verse in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whoever shall believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek,
amen.
The same Lord over all is rich unto all that is called unto Him. Whoever shall call upon
amen.
The name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in your life and you made that confession, I don't know, people who are calling maybe non-believers, it's a real simple prayer. But that's the thing that I want everyone to have an understanding, that confession is the biggest thing. We don't believe,
amen.
Then this whole thing is not going to work. Pastor Cooper was telling you about faith. Faith is one of the biggest things. There's God type of faith, and then there's natural faith. Natural faith is that what a man is going to believe in something, but he's not believing in the true and almighty living God. God is omnipotent. I mean, He's our past, our present, and our future. And I think that's where we have to come to a better understanding. So for those that are listening right now, I'd like to say a simple prayer with me. I know that you want to understand more about this Jesus, but for you to even get into the game, you got to first make that confession first. So for all that are listening, you can say this, you know, on your phone, you know, through listening right now. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Savior, Lord of my life. Forgive me for my sins. I believe that your Son died on the cross for my sins.
Yes,
and I believe that He's my Savior and Lord, and I trust You. And I believe You right now. And thank You, Father, for what You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
That's how simple
amen.
It is. For those that, if you just said that prayer, if you made that confession, you know, give us a call. Let us know it's your first time doing it. Because the thing is knowing Christ is in your life is the biggest thing. But making that confession is one of the biggest things. Because right now, I would hate for someone to hear a great word Pastor Cooper's talking about and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your own personal self. That's one of the biggest things that I can tell someone that can be very detrimental for a believer, is that, you know, you never want to think that everyone who's calling in is saved. You don't know who's listening in. You don't know who's calling. We have our believers calling in that need their faith encouraged. And you get your non-believers that are calling in that need to get some answers and need the actual help. So that's where, you know, I'm in faith with. For those that are listening right now, if you got your Bibles, we can go to a scripture that I know that will definitely help you since we're talking about believing.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's a memorable verse, but we got to understand that, you know, when God gives us insight, we got to work on it. When you're there with your Bibles, just let me know, saying amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Real simple passage, but it has so much powerful meaning. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Believing is something where you're looking outside of what you're normally used to seeing. So I think that's where we have to, as believers, have to have a better understanding for that. We got to know that God is going to definitely take care of us and work everything out in our behalf. But you have to understand that when God gives you the God kind of faith, it's looking past everything that you would not see in the actual natural. Because the natural is going to give what's being spoken. So first you got to walk by faith, not by sight. So first, faith has an action. Means once you say it, you have to understand that you know that you have the faith to get there or come through.
Hallelujah.
We have supernatural type of faith, and we have the natural type of faith. Now, Calvin, what are you talking about? Well, I look like natural faith. Like when you go home, you get in that bed of yours. You're not trying to say, okay, well, Lord, I pray this bed is not going to break when I lay my tail down on it. Or when I sit in my chair, well, Lord, you expect it. But this chair is going to hold me up, or this bed is going to, when I lay down, it's going to do so. So that's the kind of faith we have to have, is that you got to have faith that God's going to take you to the next level.
Hallelujah.
You know, babies got great faith because they're new to the game. So when they cry, when they point, I want juice. They don't say, well, you know, I may not have the money to get the juice. They're expecting when I say juice, Mom and Daddy, you're going to deliver me my juice. Or Mom and Daddy, you're going to deliver my food. And that's the way you look at God. You know, we are sons and daughters. So a son and a daughter is going to ask their father that has everything across the universe for us to have. So that's why I want people that's listening right now, you know, because I don't want to hold you up long. I'm just trying to let people know that, that God is going to give us all kind of faith that's going to take us to the next level.
Amen.
Supernaturally bless us.
Yeah.
We know that he's going to take care of us tremendously. And he's going to take care of our bodies. He's going to take care of our minds. And we don't want to be not appreciative of what he has done for us. So I think that's where we have to have a better understanding of how good God has been. You know, I look at, you know, God has been everything to me. He's been my shield, my wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. I mean, he's given me everything possible that I can ever imagine. And I got more to come. We got to always keep everything in perspective. We never want to lose sight on the real calling that God has for your life. Never think just because of where your circumstance is that he can't use
something
you.
Because the enemy puts in somebody else's mouth and it comes out. We get attacked from all sides frequently. It can be unleveling.
Definitely. You know, you want to have a greater understanding that, you know, when you talk about believing, you got to have faith that, anything that God says that, you know, you're going to have it, you're going to have it, but you got to always have the right intention. Your heart's got to be right. So being a believer, you can't have malice, hatred in your heart.
Amen.
Unforgiveness is probably one of the things that does for a lot of believers.
Hallelujah. I needed to hear that today, Calvin. Thank you.
If we bring over our past hurt and pain that we have, it can definitely destroy us. And so that's something that we have to know, that, you know, God's going to bring us through no matter what we're dealing with, no matter how it looks. I mean, I'm not just speaking just from trying to be a cliche. Like, let's go with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you got your Bibles, go there. That's something that I know that can definitely benefit anyone who's listening right now. And that can definitely would love to hear this.
Hallelujah.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to have an understanding as believers that when God says, now faith is, so first you got to say, now, the person of the now, now is one of the biggest things you have to have a great understanding for, that God is going to take care of us. And
the now
is. So just like when he said, let there be light, when the let came out and then there's light, then that's it, light hit. You know, God didn't have to say, well, you know, let there be light, and, you know, light took its time. It's that now type of faith. So you got to stay in the spiritual atmosphere. So,
and expect it.
So we need to get the ball rolling. So
So
I think that's where we have a better understanding, that we have to believe God that he's going to come through for us, that he's going to change our situation, that he's going to manifest everything that we believe. We know that without him, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's in verse 6 of that same chapter. And then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to be yourself encouraged, and you got to keep hearing the word, and you keep putting into your heart, you know, reading your Bible as much as you can daily. I'm not going to make it sound like I'm a perfect person. I read it every day. Try to read as much as I can, and have a lot to work on. And that's where we as believers have to have that better understanding. So I want everyone who's listening to say, you know, if you got God in your life and you're believing that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. But the reward is not all about the financial aspect. I think that's what people twist it, is that we're worried about the finances. It could be about the health. You know, God gave me perfect health, that I'd be able to function on a daily basis. That I'm able to have a family, that I'm able to, like for me, have wife and kids, and be able to, you know, thank God I have a job, and, you know, I am healthy. You know, it could be different.
Yeah.
Now, not everyone's circumstance is always as good in regards to those aspects of their life. I think a lot of times we can't take things for granted. We have to understand that God is going to definitely take care of you. But what are your thoughts, Ms. Brenda, of what you feel about it?
From Pastor Cooper, though, when he was speaking, the Lord put something on me too. And you too, Calvin, when you're talking about levels, the Lord is saying to me that you can be reborn many times, not just you're not necessarily just reborn once. If you keep believing and you keep believing and you keep believing, you can become a new person as often as the Lord chooses to use, as long as you accept him and allow him to use you, you're reborn each and every time. That's the supernatural of it all, is that you can be reborn. That's what I don't understand, is why people get stuck in, and they're intelligent people, that, but they are stuck on a level of non-believing, non-moving up, and accept that that's all there is, and they refuse to give the Lord, I guess I just answered my own question. Because last night somebody said, or I said the word atheist to somebody, and then somebody said the word atheist back to me, and I'm like, holy moly. How can you not believe in miracles when if you have a child living in your house that you gave birth to, if you're a male or a female, the miracle of the conception, how can you be a non-believer?
Gotcha.
I don't understand.
Well, that's why we gotta pray for the. You got you right.
Yeah.
I mean that's what I said. People have to, you know, definitely to pray and to ask God to make a difference. You have to definitely people. Sometimes when you're stuck in your situation, things that you may overlook stuff that, you know, for others would be a blessing beyond extreme, just walking. For some, they do on a
that's
daily
what
basis.
I'm saying.
They can say,
they're not, it's a misconception in their own mind that they're actually stuck. It's a figment of their imagination that they refuse to deal with it. And that never ceases to inform me that they choose to stay there when the Holy Spirit is everywhere and all you have to do is accept it. Just setting up each and every day is a supernatural thing in itself, because the Lord doesn't have to allow that to occur. And another thing that I spoke on last night was that the Holy Spirit does not claim us in numerical order. So all these people that are going around, well, my pastor at First Baptist Church of Cordero this Sunday said, you can walk in here with diamonds and rubies and everything all over you. They're not going to save you, and they're not going to take you where the Lord wants you to be when it's over. So that material objects and non-believing and material objects and just refusal. I don't understand the flat out refusal part. Why would you refuse your blessing? Did you ever hear the story about when somebody passed and they got to the pearly gates? Well, there was an angel there, and the angel was waiting for the person to arrive, and they opened the pearly gates and they took him inside, and then they took him into a compound and they said, I'm going to show you something. And they took him inside the compound, and it was beautiful, delightful, and the most heavenly place. And the person said, what is this? And the angel said to the person, this is all of the blessings. They didn't say this is everybody's blessing. The angel said, this is all of the blessings that you didn't bother to ask for that you could have had. That's the part that blows my mind, that people just accept that.
Well, definitely let's have a discussion with that on next week on our next topic, so that we can definitely do so.
Okay.
I want to thank everybody who's just giving me the opportunity, Brendan, for allowing me to be on your show. I want to thank Pastor Cooper for just laying down that strong foundation for believing.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank all of y'all for listening to what I had to say, and I'll let you, Miss Brenda, like I said, you know, close out like you always do in Brenda's world, and to bless the believers with your scriptures, and I appreciate y'all.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you, Pastor Robert Cooper and Calvin Logan II, for speaking on my program today, and I'm going to continue on today with reading from Breaking Generational Curses, and we can help ourselves. Thank you, gentlemen.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. I'm going to continue on. I in my heart, do totally believe that people don't understand sins, the difference between a sin and iniquities. If I'm pronouncing it properly, sin is singular, and iniquities is plural, so that once you have committed the sin and you decide for yourself with your mind that you're going to continue, probably this would be the curse that I'm referring to. If you continue the one curse that you committed at any time, that's the plural, which is iniquity. And you, your mind has the total choice, you can speak to your own mind out loud if you need to, or just in your head, because you have a right lobe and a left lobe, you have a prefrontal cortex, you can make a choice to not commit that iniquity over and over. No matter how small, no matter how big the iniquity is, you can put a stop to it, choose a different behavior pattern. And I've spoken to the listeners many times about that. This is not supposed to be degrading to anyone. This is not supposed to make you disrespect your lineage, because some people actually don't know any better. They think that the way everything has been done is the way that things are to continue to be done. And that's not, if the way you are doing things is keeping you stagnant or getting you in trouble, the trouble part, if it's getting you in trouble and making you disrespect your own self, then that's a sure clue that you need to form a new behavior pattern. Let's see, where should I start in this book today? Responding to God. Sometimes in some areas of our lives, we think, why is my faith not working? What is wrong? We raise children to serve the Lord, and then, bang, they go haywire at a certain age. Then we ask, what is this, God? I've got to have some more answers. And some people say that and ask for answers, and that's good. And some people don't even want any answers, and that's sad. He that is spiritual judges all things. Understands is what that means. 1 Corinthians 2:15. They that seek the Lord understand all things. Proverbs 28:5. Many times we have to wait on the Lord, and he gives us the answer eventually. As you wait on God, because that is so true, sometimes, as Patrick said, now. And sometimes the Lord thinks you need to experience more and more, and then he will show you the answer. But he will show you the answer eventually, and you might even forget that you asked the Lord the question. It might take that long, but he will, and then your eyes are open again. And you wait on God as you are in the Spirit, and then he opens your understanding to see what the problem is and how to get rid of it. God never just justifies a problem and then leaves you to deal with it alone. He always gives you the solution to the problem, and then often the miracle that can turn it around. The Bible says that some negative hereditary traits are curses. It's an iniquity, but if it's very bad, it could be a curse that can ruin your life. Curses always start with sin. For the curse, causeless shall not come. Sin takes a number of forms. Worshipping other gods, such as money or a career, a lust for power, rebellious children, cruelty, violence, and sexual sins. And I probably have that in the most of those. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Sexual sin is one of the worst kinds of curses because of what it does to the person. Adultery not only hurts you physically, but it leaves scar tissue on your soul. And then your children have the same weakness, and then your grandchildren, and then your great-grandchildren do as well. So that's the generational curse, that it goes back far, far back. And probably because the great-great-grandparents had to learn it from somebody, so it goes way back. Breaking the curse of a hereditary disease. Another curse that has passed from generation to generation is disease. Several years ago, I was teaching on the subject of healing at a Bible study in a home in Denver, and this would be Marilyn Hickey, the author of the book, saying this. And she was teaching on the subject of healing, and I understand that because I'm blessed indeed. A certain woman happened to attend this particular Bible study. Oh, and that's an awesome experience. My listeners should try that sometime. During the teaching, she just didn't sit down, and it bothered me. I thought she was an agnostic towards the Bible study, and after I walked with her, and she said, "Well, you may say that healing is for today, but I don't believe it." And then she told me about two very desperate needs that she had. Her father was blind. He had a hereditary eye disease that would usually hit some family member when they were in their early 30s. Their eyes would gradually get worse and worse until by the time they were in their 40s, excuse me, they were completely blind. Let me take a sip of tea. This woman was in her mid-30s, and she was starting to go blind. But even worse than that, her teenage daughter was beginning to go blind, too. This was a generational curse. I didn't know about generational curses at the time, but the more knowledge we get, the more we know how to attack the enemy and set people free. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. This woman was literally perishing, and so was her daughter. She didn't believe what we were studying, but she needed that healing desperately. Oh, my. And not only was she losing her sight, but I discovered that the reason she had been standing through the Bible study was that her hip bone had been operated on and part of the bone had been removed. Well, I myself have had that experience and had a bone graft, and they used my hip. She hadn't been able to sit comfortably for a long period of time, and she needed healing badly. That's because when they mess with your bones, actually, it feels like you're on fire, and you don't really want to sit on that fire. A well-known evangelist was coming to town, and some of the people in the Bible study invited her to go with them to his meetings, but she refused. There we go with the refusal word. But then her daughter said, "Mother, it can't hurt to go just one time." So the mother and the daughter went. They were sitting in the balcony of the auditorium, and the evangelist called out for the people who had problems in their hips or in their bone structure, and the daughter said, "Mother, stand up. This cannot hurt." It certainly didn't hurt. She felt the warmth of the Lord go all over her. She knew something had happened, but she didn't know how to identify it. That night, as she was getting ready for bed, her daughter came in the bedroom and was talking with her. And the daughter said, "Mother, there's an extra lump on you. The bone had been removed, so nothing showed." Then the daughter said, "Mother, feel for yourself. I think you have a hip bone now." Lord have mercy. The mother felt her hip, and she had a new hip bone. God had done a miracle. Her spirit caught on fire after that, and that's how he works. The Bible says that he will use the most unlikely people, pick and choose the most unlikely people to show, because then the miracle really stands out. She came back to the daughter came back to the Bible study and said, "I believe in healing. I believe in healing." And she told us her story. Then she said, "And now I want you to pray for my eyes." We rebuked the devil and prayed for her eyes, and she has 20/20 vision today. And her, that's a miracle. And her daughter, who was going blind, is not blind today because the generational curse was broken. Setting our generations free, Deuteronomy 28:46, is an unusual verse. "And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever." Unlike the signs and wonders in the New Testament, this scripture refers to bad types of signs and wonders. Bad types of signs and wonders. And that does need to be brought to our attention. It says that these curses, which come from generation to generation, will be signs and wonders of the demonic power of sin and the power of the devil to keep curses perpetrating on throughout the family's history. So, once again, it's even when you yourself have seen miracles and accept the miracles, people in your own family will come against you because because they can and they will. So the devil demonic power of the sin and the power of the devil to keep curses perpetrating on throughout a family's history. And the devil himself loves this trick. Now we know the way to change things for the better. We have been bound for years by the devil, but now not only can we be set free, but also we can set our generations free. We can overcome those nasty, familiar spirits, thoughts of the iniquities, and let ourselves free, ourselves and our children free, of children and our children's children free to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7:9 tells us, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Let me read that sentence again. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Matthew 12:28-29. So that very simply says that the Lord will cast out the devils by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom of God will come to you. And the devil will try to bind you. It says the devil has to bind the strong person, and that is how that he spoils your home. So when that is telling me that when you first hear the voice of the devil in your head, and he will speak to you, and he will think that it is actually your own mind, and it is not. It is the devil. That when you first feel his voice trying to take a stronghold over you, for whatever reason, then you need to rebuke him, because he's going to spoil your house, and that can be your physical house, that can be your temple, which is your body. You need to, as soon as you hear the devil putting any doubt in your mind, put a stop to it that very second. We know that we can spoil the devil's stronghold in our household by binding him in the name of Jesus, yes, by telling him that he can't do those awful things to our house or to our generation or to the generation that followed us. Amen. So you have to make that choice, because the devil will come in and run all over you and into your family and into the generations to come, because he's already affected the generations that have been affecting the generation that is now. So the generation that is now has to make the choice to put an end to that and to help their future generations of their own blood. These evil spirits that are familiar with their family for generations know that they are already born with a weakness, and that is the devil talking right there. The evil spirits that are familiar with your family for generations know that you are already born with a weakness. So they attack your weakness. The evil spirits attack your weaknesses. When it's time, they make their attack on you. But you bind them, and you're not going to be a diabetic. Amen. You bind him, and you're not going to get into sexual sin. You bind him, and you're not going to live in poverty. Amen. It's all a choice of your mind. You have a free mind. Everything that your mind says to you is not necessarily the truth. The devil is a lie. But remember, once you are cleansed, he's going to come back and try to take you and your children again. If he gets them, he's going to make them seven times worse. Lord, have mercy. So did you hear that? Listeners, you need to hear that. That if you don't make a choice to put an end to your iniquities, that you are showing your generations that comes after you, because they are paying attention. You don't have to really direct your iniquities at them. They just learn them. That there will be seven times worse. Lord, have mercy. So that's all the reason that we need. But we don't have to let it happen to our children. We can set them free too. We don't have to put up with any more releasing bitterness. Did you know that God wants you to be free? Did you know that the Word always brings freedom? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. God wants to set you free in every area of your life. He wants you to go kick the devil in the teeth, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness upspringing up trouble in you, and thereby may be defiled. Hebrews 12:15. With all that we've learned, it's pretty easy for us to read this verse and say, yes, that's right, bitterness. And I've had bitterness in my life that I've had to let go of, and it can be very difficult. And somebody is directing bitterness toward me at this very minute, and I'm asking for that to be released. Bitterness is definitely a cause of family curses, and it just goes on. And bitterness can go on and eat you up. People who are bitter because of something bad that happened to their father or their great-grandfather are probably not going to get very far with family blessings. They've got to get rid of that bitterness. And sometimes bitterness doesn't come from the past. It comes that far back. It comes from your own past. But it's something that was caught. It's a repeat of something that happened before in a new way. Let go of it. Well, that's very true, but the cure for bitterness is forgiveness. Please forgive people or you're going to be a sick puppy. And that's one attribute. Most humans have a problem with truth. Deep from the heart, long-lasting forgiveness, the kind that also forgets. I'm just going to throw something in here. That I was having a conversation with a young man the other day. The word naive came up, and that word was directed at myself. And some people misinterpret my faith and my forgiving nature, my godly ways, as foolishness and being naive. That is a false illusion to a lot of people. Just because you have forgiveness in your heart and you're godly and you're forgiving and you don't want to cause trouble all the time, or you don't say certain things to people's faces at the time that they need to be said. You just are quiet, go home and stay in your peaceful environment. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're being foolish or naive. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Isaiah 43:25. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1-4. Forgiveness is a divine attribute. It's a great thing for the person that you're forgiving, but it's a better thing for the person that's doing the forgiving, because it'll only eat you up. But we now have the nature of God in us once you forgive, and that makes us partakers of all his divine attributes, including genuine forgiveness. And nowhere in that paragraph that I read foolishness or naive, I read his divine attributes, including genuine forgiveness. This is what I've learned a lot of times over since I was an adult, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, will take care of his own children for that people that take advantage of your godly soul, thinking that you're foolish or naive, because he takes care of his own children. So beware of who you're taking advantage of when you're having that optical illusion that they're foolish or naive. And the boys grew, this is Genesis 25:27. And the boys grew, and the man was cunning. Their father was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, if any bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. People just give away their, don't care about their own self. For ye know that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So he was so upset about what he'd done to his own self that he sold himself out so cheaply that he was refused his blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place for repentance. And even though he cried with tears, and that's what's going to happen more, my listeners, that Brenda's world is that if the Holy Spirit comes and you are, if you think there's going to be time, as Pastor Cooper said, when the now moment comes, and when the now moment occurs, when the Holy Spirit comes down and the Messiah is back, that the paragraph that I just read you, none of that is going to save you because you have waited too long. Hebrews 12, 15, 17, and I might add that that's why we're doing this program, is that you can ask for forgiveness and be saved, and you can be, I'm not saying that you need to, that you can keep committing these iniquities over and over and over again, but you can be reborn supernaturally every day, and that means if you're living a godly life, that the levels are never ending. There's more than we can learn from life, from a profane man. When I read that phrase, I thought, what's profane? Does that mean he used profanity? That he cursed what? The Bible said, cunning hunter and man of the field. From that, I think that he was a macho man, one of those guys who liked to hunt, fish, and wrestle with the boys. But the other one, one man was plain and was dwelling in tents. That mild-mannered type, more likely to engage in intellectual conversation with the ladies of the camp. The two brothers, who were twins, couldn't have this. So they were brothers, and one was one. My dad was a twin, and they were like that. And they were so, didn't even look alike. But here, profane doesn't necessarily refer to language. It means that he was worldly. But he was very earth conscious. He was an earthly person. When he woke up in the morning, he thought, what's for breakfast? And what am I going to eat all day? His whole concern for his physical body. He was proud of his hairy chest and strong arms, and that he could pull a bow. He was proud of his ability to run fast and wrestle everything down. His physical powerness made his father proud of him too. Some other people favored the other brother, the other twin. However, preoccupation with his physique and with his ego led him to be a fornicator. Fornication can either involve sexual sin or there can be spiritual fornication. Or you can worship an idol, his own ego included. So we have to remember to always be humble, because what has as quickly been given to us as a flash can as simply be taken away. He treated spiritual things very lightly. So that's what we should not do that, because if you have spiritual, which this book's called things, which would be blessings or gifts, that there's somebody else that wants those. And if you waste those, the Holy Spirit is going to come in them to somebody else. One day he came in, the twin came in from a hard day of hunting, horseback riding, and other macho activities, and he was hungry. And the twin was stirring a pot of stew. Now remember, the first twin was always thinking of his stomach and always thinking of his physical comfort. I would like what you're cooking. Can I have some? And the twin said, well, I would like your birthright, so let's just swap. Frankly, that wasn't very nice of the twin to suggest such a thing, to respond to his brother's insignificant moment of hunger by countering with one of the powerful things of God. That goes to show that the devil is always on the prowl. So you can be godly and still... the devil is waiting on the tip of your tongue to say something out of it that you shouldn't be saying. So he was giving his brother a hard time. And the devil is always waiting to devour, to see what he can devour and ruin. To see who's going to mistreat the holy things of God in a moment of jesting or lightheartedness, because then he can pervert God's plan for our lives. And I would say that's coming on me. It's trying to happen right now, but I'm rebuking that. That goes to show that the devil is always on the prowl. We have to be on guard at all times to bring into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because, so we must remember that the Lord is using us and through us, and we are not doing this ourselves. I want your birthright. He was contributing to a change in the course of history forever. And then he sold his birthright for a piece of meat. And after he did that, after he ate all of it and was lying around with a full belly, then he felt bad about it. But he didn't repent to God. He didn't say, "Dear God, you've given me so much. How could I have treated the gift that you've given me so lightly and just felt sorry that I had missed out on a bargain?" Well, he didn't miss out on a bargain. He asked for it to happen. We can be sorry that we get caught up in sin. We're not sorry that we sinned and hurt God, or even hurt other people. We're just sorry for the consequences. Amen. That's how that works. That's how a criminal is after they have no remorse for what they do. And it's easy. If you commit a crime and you get caught, don't point at an innocent bystander, the witness, because you yourself committed the sin, the crime, and you can't put the blame on another person for the crime that you committed when they had nothing to do with it. Take responsibility for your own sin and accept it. And an ungodly person, you're not even sorry about the crime that you committed. You're just sorry that you got caught and you're mad at the witness. The curse of depression. I've got 13 minutes left. Let's see how much I can get in. Do you know that what most depression is? Earthly sorrow. You are in sin when you are depressed. People want to be petted when they are depressed. Oh, be nice to me, treat me sweetly, because I am depressed. They're really on one of those woe is me, pity me kicks. But the Lord is not going to sympathize with you because depression is unbelief, and unbelief is a sin. Lord have mercy. That was intense. Let me read that. The Lord is not going to be, will not sympathize with you because depression is unbelief, and unbelief is a sin, and will not let you move up to be reborn again, the next level. Often depression is unconfessed, is an unconfessed sin. You didn't deal with it yourself, thinking somebody else has treated you wrongly. But depression is giving into sin, and that's a curse. It can lead to mental and emotional breakdown. It can lead to serious psychotic disorders. It can even lead to insanity, and it can be passed from one generation to the next. And that's true. I'm sure many of you have seen that in your generation. So the man lost his birthright, and he also lost his blessing. And his brother fell in and grabbed the blessing. And the brother was wrong in the way, but the brother was wrong in the way he did it. But their opportunity was created because of the first brother's sin. The first brother lost his birthright. He lost his blessing, and then he ran in the tent and cried. And he said, "Oh, Daddy, I lost my birthright." His fault was that. He did it himself. But he didn't say that. "Oh, Daddy, I've lost my blessing. Please, please. I feel so sorry about this. This is earthly sorrow. Please don't. You have another blessing?" He was trying to get his father to relent and give him a blessing, but he never got it. He just got a little of the leftover blessing. He sought it with tears, but he never got it. But because he didn't use godly sorrow, he used earthly sorrow. If he had used godly sorrow, he would have said, "God, how have I failed and how I blown it?" Instead, he said, "God, my brother failed me and he blew it." That's like committing the crime and pointing at the witness and blaming the crime that you committed yourself on the witness because you got caught. No, that's not how it works. And look at my mother. She's not even for me, and they found me. So he had bitterness in his heart against his brother and his mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, and probably a little of mine. He was angry at God also. He never used a godly repentance, which would have cleansed him and set him free. He became defiled with his bitterness, and he could have reversed the curse by repenting of his part in it. That's the difference. We want everybody else to repent. Amen. We want everybody else to repent, but we think we don't need to because we're so sweet. Why should I have to repent? I didn't do anything that bad. The brothers sold the birthright, so he obviously didn't think that the blessing was too important. So that's called disrespecting your blessing. Later he wanted to murder the person that he gave his blessing to, that he gave it away. He blamed it on his brother. He blamed it on his mama. And he was so wrapped up in his self-pity that he never realized that godly repentance would remove his fault and change the situation. But as long as you cop out, you will experience depression and you will experience bitterness. When you are bitter, you defile yourself. Amen. And you may defile others as well. Don't sell your soul for a penny. Don't sell your soul for nothing. You're not going to get another one. Bitterness is a luxury you cannot afford. It's too expensive. It will defile you and it will defile those around you. The fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are not set on edge. Jeremiah 31:29. That's exactly what happened to the brother. When he became bitter against his brother and his descendants, his children became bitter against the descendants also. And Moses sent messages from Kadesh unto the kingdom of Edom. Thus saith the brother, I know it's all trouble that hath befallen us. Our fathers went down to Egypt and have dwelt in Egypt for a long time. And the Egyptians cursed them and our fathers, and we cried unto the Lord. He heard our voice and sent an angel that protected them from the curse. Let us pass, I pray, through the country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go to the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left, to the left until we have passed that border. And when you say that, you better do what you say. Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my wrath will drink of thy water, then they will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through, and they were refused passage through Israel, through his border. They were turned away because they didn't keep their word. When you don't keep your word, everybody does notice. That makes you a liar. When you do not keep your word, that means you're not honest and you're not trustworthy. If you are bitter against someone, you can't afford it. It's going to cost you your blessings, and it can cost your children's blessings too. The instant that you repent of your sins in a godly fashion, the curse is broken. If you are almost persuaded to repent of your sins, your almost is not enough, and you will be a failure. You stand to lose everything, and your entire family may die out. if you don't stop those generational curses right now, then the male in your family will have no children, and your name will not continue on. You must say, I repent of everything. Lord, have mercy, I repent of everything. I'm not going to hold bitterness in my heart. And then when you repent, you are free, and the generational curse is broken, and you can free the next generation so that something seven times worse won't come upon them. Seven times worse is horrible. Do not eat sour grapes and defile all of your future generations. Okay, that's the end of that chapter. So that if you commit a sin or you have an iniquities, if you are genuinely remorseful and in a godly fashion repent, you can start over with a clean slate. That doesn't mean that you have a free reign to do decently. Don't do horrible things. This world is in horrible, horrible shape. You need to be praying and staying prayed up for everything that's going on in the world. Pray for France, because I'm located in the United States, and that could happen to us at any time. The world is in a dire need of protection and the blood of Jesus upon it. And so with that, I'm going to close this program out on November the 18th, 2015, with Prayer for a Friend by Casting Crowns. And have a blessed day. The holidays are coming, and get ready. Let's celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and let's have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.